Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. He is a very talented franchise consultant. He's been in the franchise space for a decade. He owns the franchise Mevin and is an incredible individual. He is a part of the world's largest franchise consulting network in IFPG. Gregory Moore, welcome to the show.
Nick, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me, sir.
Absolutely. And what is the title of your firm?
Franchise Mevin, actually.
Mevin, there we go. Thank you for that. I needed the assist there, but no one will forget now.
There you go. Good.
There you go. Yeah, perfection is the objective, but look at me. I'm human. I fell short. Darn. But I wanted to get it right. So thanks for helping me back up there and do just that, get it right. But let's get into the conversation. You have so much expertise in the franchise space. I want to share it with the audience and help them level up in terms of just their understanding of the franchise space. So many people don't understand franchising and what it's all about. So hopefully today you and I can shed some light on the franchise space. A lot of people think that franchising is McDonald's or Burger King, those quick service restaurants or fast food chains that we all think of. That's what you think of in most cases when you're not in the franchise space. In fact, franchising is not even an industry. It's a growth vehicle. It's a model. And yet most folks within the space don't even realize that and call it an industry. So my point is that the more we can talk about franchising and get the message out there, it just improves everybody's experience with franchises because there's no going back to the marketplace without franchises. In fact, franchising is becoming more and more of the go-to method for local companies to take their unique and innovative and value-driven products and services to the marketplace. Personally, I can speak to it. It's obviously a great model for entrepreneurship, but a lot of folks don't raise their hand and say, hey, I'm going to get into franchising. Franchising has a way of finding you. And so, Greg, I wanted to ask you, how did franchising find you? But before you answer that, I want to end by saying that franchising comes in many different forms. And as long as it's legal, moral, and ethical, and makes money, it could be franchised. And that means that a painting service like Lime, or a roofing company, or a window cleaning company, those are all businesses that can be franchised, and they're not what you would normally think of as a franchise. But Greg, how did franchising find you?
Well, interesting question, Nick, that back in high school, like a lot of us, we got jobs at fast food places. Well, my first job at the fast food place was Taco Bell. So I stayed with Taco Bell for a while. That was back in the late 70s, and I kind of moved up in the Taco Bell Taco Bell world, and I started managing restaurants. And unbeknownst to myself at the time, the person that I was managing the restaurants for, Kathy, she was actually a master franchisor for Taco Bell. She had about 50 Taco Bells throughout the Sacramento,
California. Wow.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And I didn't know anything about franchise, never heard about franchising at that point in time. Didn't even realize McDonald's was a franchise or anything like that. They don't teach that sort of thing in high school, or at least not back then. So I moved up and I started managing her different restaurants, building up the sales, building up morale in the people and doing that. And I thought this is just great. I could walk in any Taco Bell I want. It's going to be the same thing, same policies, same procedures, same manuals. You do everything exactly the same. So I thought this was the greatest thing in the world. This is so cool. That's where I got my first start into it. And then after that, I went on to manage other restaurants for about 15 years, became an engineer, like microelectronic circuit engineer for a while, did that for about 15 years, and then got laid off. Best thing that ever happened to me. And I said, that franchising thing was great. While I was an engineer and a friend of mine, we bought the dry cleaners. We had storage units in there, got some rental properties. I can tell you that running that dry cleaners with me and him, knowing nothing about dry cleaners, it was a privately owned business. We had to teach ourselves everything about that. And that was a lot of work. So after I got laid off, I sold everything to him. He got laid off before me, so he wanted to take over the whole business. So I sold my part back to him, decided I got to get back into that franchising thing again. That was a lot of fun. I don't have the latest, greatest idea, and I don't want to do it by myself again like we did with the dry cleaners. That was way too much trying to figure things out on your own. So I went out there and I got click happy, and I clicked on just about every single franchise that looked good to me. And I had lots of people calling me all over the place, all these franchise development people. Very confusing, very mind-boggling. You're sitting there at the coffee table. You got all these different papers hanging out and trying to figure out which one's best. Finally got a hold of a franchise consultant who said, just put everything on hold. Stop what you're doing. Let's take a look at it. Where have you been? Where are you at now? Where do you want to be? So he found me a great franchise to get into. I was the Schooley Mitchell Telecommunications Consulting franchise. Did that for a while. Hit all the targets. I got to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, work at my own pace, work at my own speed, work from home. So I thought, this is even better than I thought. Dennis Schooley was just awesome. He just really taught you how to do everything. I said, if this is what franchising is all about, I've got to tell other people about it. So I sold that one off and went back to my franchise consulting friend and said, well, what do you do? I want to know what you do. I want to talk to other people throughout the United States, actually throughout the world, and help them get into franchising as well.
How many brands are there total in the franchise space?
I believe right now there's about 4,000 or 5,000 different franchise brands throughout the United States.
Right. That's about what I was thinking, right? Somewhere in the mid 4,000s. That's a big landscape to navigate if you're not familiar with the franchise world. How does that process start if I'm embarking on entrepreneurship through franchising? As we were talking at the beginning of our conversation, I mentioned that it's a great vehicle for somebody to take a vetted, proven model to other markets. But to your point, you might not be in the right time of your life to be in startup mode and competing against the marketplace that has proven out the model. And you have to break through and take the arrows in the back. And that's time, money, resources that not everybody has the interest in doing, but you can shortcut that and join an organization that has established the process for what does it take to win in the marketplace? What does the technology look like? What does the marketing look like? How does the model work, right? What actually drives revenue and profitability? And there's confidence all across the country in those different points. But even better, you have a cohort and partners that have either been there, done it, and can help you, or are going through it now and you can relate to in the process. It's a great model for jumpstarting your path into franchising, right? Into business ownership, the American dream. So I am looking to embark in this road of franchising. Where do I start? There's 4,000 brands. As a franchise consultant, what would be your advice?
I would say start interviewing different franchise consultants, because unless you've got the time to do it, unless you got laid off like I didn't want to go to do it yourself, still kind of a pain when you do it that way. But if you don't have it, then find franchise consultants out there. Find them that have been around for a few years. Now, I'd prefer that you'd come to me and let me do it for you. But I realize there's other franchise consultants out there as well. So interview a few of them and see which one you like best. Keep in mind that franchise consultants are paid by the franchisors. You decide to invest in a franchise they introduce you to. So our services to you out there, folks, are free on that. All the franchise consultants are that way. But find ones that are that have the experience, that have been around for a while. Interview a few of them and see which one you like best. Because the process itself, from my own experience, is kind of painful when you try and go out there and do it yourself. We do a lot of the back office type stuff for you, kind of a done-for-you service. So you've got to look at things like, what's your net worth? What is the franchise? What is their net worth requirement on there? What is your skill set? What is the skill set required by the franchisor? So we have an idea of who the franchisors are looking for in a successful franchisee. And all we have to do now is figure out what you're looking for in a successful franchise. So if you're going out there just looking for franchises, probably get with a consultant, unless you have a lot of time on your hands to do it yourself. If so, then there's two things to consider if you want to do it yourself. One is, when you're looking at the brands, look at their longevity, how many times that they've repeated themselves over and over again. There's some things to be said about going with an emerging brand, a newer brand. There's going to be a lot of territory open on that. You generally get to work directly with the person that created the franchise. So there's good points about emerging brands. They haven't repeated it as much as some of the ones, like, for instance, Lime Painting has repeated it 85 times. So they've done it many times. So you know, you've got more of a sense of security when you know they've repeated it in many different cities and many different states before. So those are the kind of things to look for there and kind of decide where it is that you want to go. But the best advice would be to just find a franchise consultant, interview a few of them, and see which ones you like best.
Yeah, and there's many different services and industries in franchising. Being in the latter part of 2023, what do you feel like are some hot industries in 2024? Somebody looking into business ownership through franchising, what should they keep an eye out for in 2024?
Medical services and home services are the two industries where I see it mostly taking off on there. After the big COVID scare and everybody, you know, having to close down some of their brick and mortar places for a while if they weren't essential services, it kind of put a fear into everybody. Now, a lot of those ones that were the brick and mortars that had to close down, they came up with some other ideas and they kept business going. A lot of the franchises and a lot of those industries really kept it going and did a really good job. But I see more people going for more of the leaning towards more of the essential services that never shut down. They're always going to be there. They're always going to be in need on that. And the medical services has always been a good one. And the home services brands, they really took off during the COVID period with that, because it's funny, everybody's staying at home, not going on vacation. So now they're looking at their house going, well, I'm not spending any money on vacation. And I got all this money laying around. This house looks like it could need some help. So I can't do it myself. I don't know how. So let's get something done on that. And it just seems to be cascading, and there seems to be more and more people that. So those are the industries that I see. Essential services, medical services, home services are good, strong industries. And there's a lot of good, strong brands out there in those industries.
What are some industries that used to be hot that maybe aren't as much right now?
For a while there, we had a lot of the yogurt shops. They just seem to be popping up all over the place there just a few years back. I think it was way before COVID. So we had a lot of different, every time I turn around, a new yogurt shop would pop up on that. And eventually my funding partner said, don't bring us any more yogurt shops because we get too many of them that are just closing up on that. So now I don't see as many yogurt shops. Some of them came, some of them went on that, but that was a big fad for a while that I see that kind of fade away. There are a few of them that held out, a few of the best ones that held out, but for the most part, they went away.
Yeah, what an interesting phase there. What about industries that are clearly established? They've been hot, but they're just right now, currently, that's not the case.
Restaurants have always been popular. So the restaurant business, a lot of people like to get into that because that's what we see when we drive around all the time. And that's what we relate to in general, is that we see all the restaurants, McDonald's, Taco Bell's, Burger King's, that sort of thing on there. So there's a lot of people that when I first got started in the business 10 years ago, the first thing they come to me with, I want a restaurant. And again, like the yogurt shops, a lot of restaurants came and a lot of restaurants went, and they were pretty hot for a while. And a lot of people got into them. But then as we started educating people, they came to realize that there is more to the franchising world than just restaurants. So we have a few of them, a few good solid ones that have hung on and they keep going strong. But that was another one that was a real good for a while. But people are kind of getting away from that these days a little bit.
Yeah, I'm holding back, but clearly you're an encyclopedia of information, and being in the space for a decade and really obsessing about it and networking and speaking to thought leaders within the space, you start to build just that, an encyclopedia for the industry, and is such an advantage when personally you can even relate, right? You're clicking around trying to find businesses and stumble upon a franchise consultant, and ultimately it changes your life. And here you are in the franchise world helping others do just the same thing. But I would like to ask you something that I would assume most folks care about, right? And that is, how do I understand what makes up a good business? Once you understand, okay, I've navigated these 40 something hundred brands and what industries are really solid investment avenues, and now you're actually assessing and working with brands, what are those high level things that you would want to make sure are checked off your list?
Great question, Nick. So first off, what is that franchise going to do for you to help you get clients? Main important thing there. You're not going to get any money if you don't get any clients. Second thing, what is that franchise going to do for you to help you get workers and employees? That's kind of important too. Bringing the clients in are good. You got to have somebody to help them out. So how are they going to do that? Then when we start looking at that, we start looking at the differences between the franchises. If you have a brick and mortar franchise, what are they going to do for the grand opening? Do they have a membership model? What do those things look like on that? If you're going into a service industry, important one, do they have a call center? Are they giving quotes over the phone? Are they setting appointments for you? So look at the things that they're going to help you with, and they're going to help you grow your business. That's the whole idea behind getting into a franchise, is that you never have to wonder, what do I do next? You should have that plan laid out for you. So look at how that franchise is going to help you grow your business, getting clients, getting employees. If it's a brick and mortar, the other thing to consider too is, you're not necessarily a real estate person. So you need a good real estate team that's going to go out there and find that location for you. In addition to finding that location for you, you're generally not going to buy it, so you're going to lease it. So you're not necessarily a lease expert. So you need someone that's going to do a good lease negotiation for you. Because you may not think that if you go into a strip mall, you want to make certain that in your lease agreement, that leaser is not going to put another business that's the same as yours inside the same strip mall. That would be bad. So you need somebody that's going to do that for you. And site location is very important. Lease negotiation is very important. And then for the service industry, is driving people to you when that need arises. So your clients don't necessarily know you exist until they need you. And we don't know about them either. When I educate my folks on service industry, they've never had to deal with any of those things. They don't know. So you need a good franchise system to drive people to you when the need arises, answer the phone for you, do quotes, schedule appointments. Those are all important things to look for.
Yeah. What drives the business? And as a result, what support and tools and resources are surrounding those components? Right. And if they're not talked about and laid out during discovery, you should probably be scratching your head or just realizing that you're going to be figuring them out.
Absolutely correct, Nick. That's one thing to think about. Are you going to be the one doing it? Is somebody else going to be the one doing it? How are they going to help you do it? And how much is it going to cost? So you got to lay out all those costs in line and there. So the royalties are going to change. Royalties vary between 5 and 10%. So one of the things that you're going to be considering is, when you're getting into that franchise, is that royalty fee worth it? And what am I getting for it? Franchise fee is a one-time thing just to get you all, get to know the business, get you trained on all the systems, get you going to start the business. It's that royalty fee that's going to vary a little bit. And you've got to make certain that it is worth what you're paying for it. So not only are you looking at all those things, but then in addition to that, you're talking to other franchisees before you sign any agreements and finding out from them, is that royalty fee worth it? What is that franchisor giving you for those royalty fees? And is it worth it to you? And would you do it all over again?
Yeah, right. What is this business model's winning formula, right? What are the tools and resources and support around that winning formula and what drives it? And does it line up with my skills, my lifestyle that I envision for myself? And do I see myself doing it day in, day out, that, right, the day in the life? And culturally, right, does this seem like an organization that I want to be a part of? And once you've figured all that out, or at least as you're pursuing figuring that out, speak to the folks within the organization around those points and make sure that they align with what your expectations are, or, right, better strengthen your expectations. Business ownership is just that. It's business ownership. It comes with making sure that the light is turned on or off and working, all the way to making sure that the floors are clean, right? At the end of the day, if your name is on the business, those things fall on your shoulders. That's business ownership. And so if you don't want to be the one actually doing that, you're clearly going to be building a team. But business ownership is business ownership. And you're going to figure out which widget or model, based on culture and everything that we talked about, day in the life and skills and whatnot, that aligns with your interests and who you are. But there's the reality of business ownership. And that is exciting and a path for creating your legacy. That's the American dream. It is the American dream. And so, yeah, can you speak a little bit to the execution? And once you're inside of an organization, you're living out the culture, you're building your business, what are some tips to be successful once you're an owner and you're now building your empire?
Good question, Nick. That actually starts with when you're going through the process itself of investigating that franchise. Mm-hmm. So you expect that franchisor to help you out, and that's what it's all about. Franchisor's got that plan of action. They've repeated it many times. They've done it. You're good with them. One other thing that you're doing when you're talking with those franchisees, finding out and validating and verifying all that information, you're making friends. Most of the franchises in the U.S. have protected territories, so no other franchisee will come in that territory. So no other franchisee is competing with you. These are your friends out there. The franchisor is going to help you, but these friends that you make along the way are going to be ones that are going to be helping you too. And you're going to generally meet with them at least once a year. A franchise has a convention at least once a year. Everybody gets together, talks about the industry, talks about where the business is going. So when you first get into that organization, go back to all those people that you talk to while you're validating that, while you're deciding whether or not you want to become a franchisee, and get together with those folks on a regular basis, finding out what they've done. Everybody loves to share ideas because as a whole, you're going to grow with that organization. You're going to build that organization up together as a team. And that's why, one of the reasons why you get into a franchise, so you can become part of the team, so you're not doing it by yourself. So my first advice is just get back with those people that you talk to, those other franchisees, find out from them, especially the ones that have first started out and they still remember clearly in their head what they did, good things to do, good things not to do. Get together with them and meet with them over the phone, Zoom meeting or something like that on a regular basis, and have them help you grow as well as the franchisor is going to help you grow.
And that is the secret sauce. That is most certainly the secret sauce of a franchise, right? Collaborating and being a part of the direction that the brand grows toward. The marketplace is constantly changing. The economy is changing. Different regulations are evolving. Friends, and you name it, employment, when we talked about regulation, interest rates could be affecting different things like unemployment and result business. You have to navigate that. And as a brand, you have to navigate that, or you're going to be like Kodak that doesn't navigate changing trends and technology toward being online, and you stay more print. And so as a franchise partner, you are growing brand enterprise value with other owners. You have the same objective to increase enterprise value. And that is the secret sauce of a franchise. And frankly, that is the most exciting part of being in a franchise model. I always love the example of McDonald's, right? A franchise owner created essentially the entire breakfast menu in the quick service space. And it just started with a breakfast item. And there are so many different items on the McDonald's menu that franchise owners created. And that is the collective genius of a franchise organization. And so do you ever speak to your clients about franchise advisory councils?
Yeah, quite often on that one. And to your point there about the McDonald's franchisees creating new menu items, that's one of the other things that I talk to people about, not only the advisory councils and getting together with others to contemplate new ideas, but a lot of people come and say, well, I'm stuck in a franchise. I'm stuck doing just these things, these one things over and over again, and I can't be creative in there. And that's just not the case. As you mentioned there, Nick, you are creating new. You can be creative. You can try new things on there. The franchisors will allow you to do it. Now, right at first, probably is not the best time in the world when you first get in there to start trying new things. You want to get kind of used to the system first and know how things operate. But you can be very creative. Like you said, those franchisees in there, and especially going on the advisory councils and talking together about what your clients, or what are they asking for? What are they looking for that you may not already have that you can try something different? So you're allowed to be very creative in there with the guidance of the other franchisees and with the guidance of the franchisor, but you can still be very creative and innovative in your franchise.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, there should be a feedback loop from the field to home office. And there should be a process for beta and surveying and refining and innovating, because the marketplace is competitive. And if the brand is not continuing to evolve and bring more value to the client, somebody else is. And so, yeah, the franchise owners are on the ground level interacting with customers. That is where the magic is happening. So yeah, you clearly don't come in to save the organization day one, right? There's a heart of humility and coaching and being a sponge that you go through, most certainly your first 6 months. And there is a big confidence and just being in stride that happens in month six, but even a bigger one at month 24, 2 years in. But you want to master the blueprint that was laid out in front of you that you invested in, right? So focusing on that initially, to your point, Greg, right? You want to get good at the business model and doubling down on that, because frankly, that's where the organization's resources are put. They're all built around the model. And so as you're building and scaling your team, if you're doing your own version of the model, there's diminishing returns as you scale because it's not the model. And in many cases, that doesn't turn out well because it's not the business, right? You might as well go run your own company in a different industry, right? That is not franchising. But once you're fully aligned and you are executing on the model, that's where being on the ground level and having an eye for creativity or innovation, and you know, it doesn't have to be big things. It's a lot of the small things that add up over time that really create that momentum for a company. It's a combination of a lot of those small tweaks. There's really never no magic blue pill, right?
Very true. Very true. And some of the franchises, even when you're first starting out, will allow you to do something different. I had a lady over in, I think it was the Las Vegas area. She got into a tutoring type and daycare type franchise. And she was working in the gaming industries, hotel restaurants. And she said, well, you're not hitting up any of the hotels or motels in the Las Vegas area. And they said, well, if you want to go do that, that's not our model. But if you want to go do that, more power to you. Mm-hmm. You know, go do it. Have at it. She did. It didn't work. And so she went back to doing what they said. This is the model that works. This is what we've proven out. And she took off. And that was it. But again, it just goes to the franchisors. We'll let you do other things on that. But when you begin with sticking with the model is the way to go. And then once you got that down, got that system down, then start thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking to our organization, our franchise owners are breaking ceilings and most certainly doing all of these things, innovating and just pursuing the boundaries of the model. And we have our core model that we do very, very well, that's very refined, but there are those outskirts of the business that can be maybe 5 years from now, they're viewed as one of those core things that we do. But guess what? Currently, they're franchise owners really pushing the boundaries of the model. And that's really what we're speaking to, right? And that's that two-way partnership of a franchisor, home office, and franchise partners. It's the collective efforts of growing enterprise value. But a part of your due diligence, you want to have an eye for, does this organization have that perspective and have the mechanisms to allow for healthy collaboration in this context? It's pivotal, because once you're paying those franchise fees, you're going to think differently and you're going to want a seat at the table, and you should have a seat at the table and you should be contributing to the direction of the brand. So just another one of those important things to be evaluating as you're assessing this exciting process, and even more reason why you should be working with somebody like Greg.
I agree, Nick. Yeah, this is a lot of the things that we look at, a lot of things I make certain that my people look at as well. I've got a list of questions for my folks, for the franchisors and for the franchisees on there. So those are some of the questions that I'll have for you to ask them, making certain that you're checking off those boxes and getting those things answered. You know, how much of a part of the organization can you be? If it's a huge one, are they just going to tell you this is the way it's going to be done? There's no other way to do it, and we don't want you deviating. Make sure you're okay with that if that's the way you want to go. Not necessarily anything wrong with it, but just make sure you're okay with that. If you want to be more innovative, then as you're asking those questions, find out just how much innovation that you are allowed and what kind of advisor councils they have for making changes in there, if that's the way you want to go. Everybody's different. Everybody's got different ideas how they want to run their business. So just make certain, again, as we talked about and as Nick mentioned before, that your values are aligning and the culture is aligning with what you're looking for.
Yeah, and it's a two-way street, right? So remember, you're evaluating different brands, but the best brands are evaluating you, and you want to be aware of that. And so I want to ask you, Greg, what are some tips for being accepted by a brand?
Be yourself. The biggest thing that you can do is just be yourself when you're going out there to be accepted by that brand, because they're looking for you. They're looking for that person of yourself. Be prompt always on your calls. If you schedule a time, talk with somebody, always be prompt. If you start not showing up on time, you start having to reschedule the calls, they're going to start getting a little bit nervous about you. Nobody's going to rush you. Nobody's going to hurry you along. But if you start delaying things for a long time, pushing things out and not being able to make decisions about things, they're going to be looking at that and they're going to be saying, this person may not be the one where we want in this franchise, because you've got to make decisions all the time and you got to make them quick. So they're going to be looking at all those little things that you do out there. So always be prompt, look decent when you're on those Zoom calls as much as possible, and be prepared to ask a lot of questions. That's why I give you a lot of questions on that. If you just sit there and listen the whole time and you're not asking any questions about them, again, they're going to start getting nervous that you're just really just not into the brand if you're not asking questions about them. So ask those questions, dig in. Follow up with them, but be real proactive, be real involved in all the conversations. And at some point in time, if you're looking at that and you're just sitting there and just starting to listen and not being proactive, realize the fact that this is probably not the brand for you anyway. So just tell them, hey, it's been great, but no thanks, this isn't the brand for me. They'll appreciate that as always, but always be really proactive, always be on time for appointments, show enthusiasm. And if you can't show enthusiasm, you probably don't like it. So just move on. Mm-hmm. They're used to it, normal process. Just tell them thanks, but no thanks, because they're evaluating you, as you indicated, Nick, just as much as you're evaluating them. Everybody wants to make sure it's a good fit. Nobody wants anybody to fail. Doesn't look good for anybody.
Yeah, well said. And it's an incredibly exciting process. So obviously enjoy every minute of it. Greg, I really admire your character and your approach and what you do, what you've been doing for the past decade, helping folks get into business ownership, whatever that reason was to join a business, you are helping them fulfill a goal that they have. And it's a pretty darn neat goal, if I might say so. But I would assume that most folks are leaving corporate America, and that is a big deal. I would say marriage and buying a home. What are a couple other more important things than what we're talking about?
That's it. That's it. You marriage, home, and then you got to pay for everything. So if you're going to have to pay for everything, you're going to have to do something to pay for it. So whatever you're doing, it's going to take up most of your life. So you better enjoy it. So find something you enjoy. Find something you have fun at. Because the more you enjoy it, the less of a job it is. The less of work it is. It's no longer work. What I do, it doesn't matter to me what day it is. People say, do you just work Monday through Friday, you know, 9 to 5? No, I call people. I'll talk to people any day you want. Every day is the same to me. Saturday, Sunday, every day is the same. It's great. It's fun. Do what you enjoy. Find something you enjoy doing. As a cliche, you'll never work a day in your life if you do what you enjoy doing. But it just really makes life a whole lot more fun, being able to do what you want, when you want, whenever you want.
Greg, this has really been an enjoyable conversation. And yeah, this is an incredibly exciting process. And Greg is most certainly one of the best at helping somebody with this incredibly important decision. Greg, if somebody is looking into franchise ownership, they don't really know where to go, they're looking for a coach, and they want to explore if you are somebody that can help them, how can they get in touch with you?
You go to my website, franchisemaven.com. That's franchisemaven, M-A-V as in Victor, E-N.com. Email me at greg@franchisemaven.com, or just pick up the phone and give me a call at 361-772-6401.
Well, you heard him here. My gosh, this has been a really informative conversation. Thank you for your time, and thank you for helping our audience level up. We would really appreciate if you would contribute to our conversation, drop a comment down below, but help our channel grow by clicking the subscribe button. It's how we are able to bring experts and thought leaders onto the show like Greg to help you level up. But as always, thank you for tuning in and level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.